Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's your homegirl Complex Angel, and I'm the Vibe.
And it's your girl Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And welcome back to another episode of Queen Angel Vibes and Vision. So, Queen K, how was your week?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. God kept me another week. He kept my kids another week. I'm thankful.
Amen.
So, I mean, I can't complain. It's been really good. I was able to do self-love in my rehab yesterday, talking about my favorite show. I did get to watch some more of it today. Well, I was supposed to be on the clock, but y'all, you know, hey, forgive me, boss, if you're watching. I mean, if you're listening. But that show is very addictive. I felt really good today, so I'm thankful. What about you?
I got dragged last week thanks to Pastor Mike Todd. We're going to get into that
Ooh,
later.
Baby.
I've been writing back in my prayer journal, you know, just asking God for questions, asking God some questions, things that I need to let go of. And I've just been, like, you know, trying to be more still and just really observe everything around me and really trying not to overthink. You know, but that has been something that I've been doing since I was a little kid. So, you know, it's going to take a minute, but I'm deciding because of yesterday's show to let go and let God. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. That is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, Queen K, what is the sipping tea for your soul topic tonight?
Y'all, tonight's topic is one of my all-time favorites, okay? We are talking about food. Tonight's title is called Food Porn. And me and Complex both have four aspects with some really light questions to go along with food and all the joy. Like, y'all, like, food is endless, okay? Like, I'm one, and Complex know, I'm one that will watch the Food Channel from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. Food is just beautiful. Food is life, okay? So with that being said, we're going to get into the first topic, and my first is learning, okay? So
okay.
My first question, Complex, is would you say that you were in the kitchen as a young girl, or did you learn to cook when you were on your own?
I learned to cook when I was on my own. Growing up, my grandmother, you know, is from the deep south, Montgomery, Alabama. So she's one of them people that's in the kitchen, and she's used to cooking big meals because that's how they do it down south. She doesn't really like for people to be in the kitchen while she's in the kitchen. My mom tried to teach me as I got older, but, you know, I was a teenager, and I'm like, I don't really want to learn how to cook. She was like, well, this is the way to a man's heart. And I'm like, I can't even keep a man right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even care. But, yeah, so I had to learn once I lived on my own because, like, in college, they had this thing called meal plans, and you were allowed to use your it's like a little debit card. You can use it on the campus. But you get tired of eating campus food. You get tired of eating A&W and all that. It seems nice at first. Like, they got Wendy's, KFC and all that. But you get tired after 6 months. So I went and applied for a bridge card, you know, and that's a food stamp card, y'all. You know, some people not from Michigan. But and that's when, like, you know, I was able to go grocery shopping, and I learned on my own. I didn't catch on quickly, so trust me, it was trial and error. But I would like to say I'm better than I am before, but I'm still learning, like, you know, different techniques. I feel like that's where you got me beat in the kitchen, because there's some people who know how to make your kitchen smell good. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. The same seasonings that I use to cook, it smells different when my bae is cooking. So I'll be like, ain't that about a bitch? You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess, like, I'd be lightly seasoning. So, yeah, what about you?
Me, I did not start off in the kitchen as a young girl. I actually always knew I wanted to be a teacher or a doctor. But my grandma, my big mama, you know, my mom and my father are from down south. My father is from Alabama, and my mama is from Coldwater, Mississippi. Like, when I tell you they still got dirt roads, they still got dirt roads. So she is from the deep south, baby. So her grandmother, my big mama, God rest her soul, she actually was like the town's cook. Like, everybody went to her. When I tell you, when I went down there as a young girl, when I tell you at 4 o'clock in the morning, she had all of your breakfast foods plus your lunch food. Like, it went from scrambled eggs to pork chops and greens on the stove, and that's just for breakfast. Like, this is just how she cooks.
Right. Yep.
So my granny is like that as well. Like, everybody know granny is, you know, that's the one, that's the house you go to. My mom was put in the kitchen as a young girl, so that's where she picked it up. Me, okay. I didn't want to get in the kitchen. Like, everybody think, like, now they think that I learned, you know, when I was young. No, like, I didn't learn how to cook until I moved out on my own. And when I moved out on my own, I kid y'all not, y'all, look, I wasn't a good parent when I first moved out, because my kids ate nothing but hamburger helper. They either had it with ground beef and macaroni, or they had chopped up sausages. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this to my babies. I cannot do this. I have to learn how to cook. So it was an experiment with us. Like, I would call my mom. I'd be like, okay, Mom, I need you to stay on the phone with me, because I got to cook these babies dinner. You got to walk me through the steps. So it's like, now I'm learning how to cook. Like, everything, like, this Thanksgiving, it was a couple of dishes I've never made before. And then I never cooked for other people other than my close friends and my family. But it was a scary thing, but it turned out pretty good. I can't complain, but yeah, I did not know. I was not that little girl in the kitchen. I picked up when I moved out, and not exactly when I moved out right away. It was like a couple of months later, you know, when my kids was like, Mom, can we have something else? Like, that's what triggered me. Okay.
You could have fooled me, because when I was at your house, you was making steak and potatoes, and I'm like, it's good. And I don't know, I always thought that you, I mean, I remember you used to help your mom cook sometimes, but we were like 19 and 20, so that's still not young, but yeah, I know what you mean. Like, where you really learn the fundamentals when you move on your own. I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You had the basics.
Baby, I'm telling you, I knew how to boil water and cook eggs right now. Yeah, it was not like it is now.
Right.
Okay, so my next question is, do you prefer traditional recipes or cooking style or the modern day? Like, do you like those deep style
what
recipes?
Is the... Okay, so you're saying traditional is deep style, modern day is what? Tacos.
You want to get where I'm coming? Yeah, because like, it was a meme on Facebook where it was like, if you call your grandma, I'll give you $1 million right now, or $500 right now, if you can call your grandma and ask her, has she ever made tacos, or when is the last time you ever seen your grandma make tacos? And I had to think about it, like, wait a minute, so they don't, my grandma has never made tacos, so what do you prefer?
Okay, I definitely understand what you mean now. So, I'm not going to lie, I love some homemade tacos, and my mom would do that. But, I mean, even though I prefer the big meals, the traditional meals that we had, the way, the cost of living is, sometimes you don't have it. Like, it costs so much just to get the ingredients. By the time you get the meat and all the ingredients, it's like, I ain't got enough money for the sides. So it's like, sometimes you have to have a hamburger helper night. You know, like, there have been times where, you know, like, I work at a good job, but the cost of living in the East Coast is very expensive. So where I'm living at, it's almost $1,000, and that's how it is over here. So, you know, there's sometimes where, like, after I pay bills and stuff, sometimes I have to, you know, spaghetti it up to stretch for a week, you know what I'm saying, or do hamburger helper, or, like, sometimes I'm able to get two meals and stuff like that. But, you know what I'm saying, it just kind of made me understand my mama's struggle growing up, because I was kind of like how your kids was, like, oh, my God, do we have to keep eating? Because, you know, going from my grandma's house to move with my mom, it's like I went from traditional meals to the meals that come quick, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of tired of hamburger helper. I'm kind of tired of Wendy's today. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was struggling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't realize back then my mom was working as a daycare attendant. You know what I'm saying? Paying $600 rent and everything. Like, you know, paying a car note. She had to make do what she could. You know what I'm saying? But on the days that she had it, you know what I'm saying, she would make the steak fries and the fried shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, something special. But hey, you know, like, I would prefer it, but the cost of living, sometimes it's not like that, you know. And I think people judge people because they feel like you being a lazy cook. No, sometimes my budget it's not there, you know.
Exactly. I know with me, I actually would prefer the modern. I like fast food. I do. That's my problem. That is my guilty pleasure. But my kids, they don't. And it kind of irritates me sometimes because I'm telling y'all, when I have to come home and cook a full course meal every night after I get off work, it's annoying. Complex be like, what you doing? Up, doing mommy duties. I'm cooking. Like, even my boss said, do you just go home and just say forget it? Like, do you have to cook every night? And I literally have to cook every night. Like, I'm the parent like, hey, don't y'all want McDonald's? And they're like, nah, can you just cook something? Like, no, I don't want to cook. I'm giving y'all the options. But I do get where you're coming from when you do say, like, the cost of living, it is high. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to tell y'all my story, but it is easier when you get stamps. I'm sorry. It is, because you can buy those foods. You know, it's difficult when you're paying bills and then have to still budget out grocery money. Sometimes you can't get that big meal. So it is different for everybody. But I will say, I don't mind a taco night. My kids want stuff like corned beef, and they want homemade macaroni and cheese, meatloaf. Like, that's dinner for them. And it's just like, y'all, come on now. Can we just make some tacos? How about we just put a pizza in the oven? And they'll look at me like, oh, that's snack? Especially my daughter. No, I don't think that's good, Mom. Like, so, yeah.
That's because you put love into your food. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny, but Ace the Face is still talking about Thanksgiving dinner. You know what I'm saying? And I told him, like, yeah, like, when Queen K cooks, you're going to be rolling out of her house. You can't just walk out. You have that, like, you put your foot in it. See, when I cook, I put my strong hand. But when you cook, you put your foot and love into it. So, yeah.
Lord Jesus. Shout out to Joyce. Shout out to Joyce.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, that goes into my first aspect, which is emotions. So my first question is, what kind of emotions come to mind when you are hungry for food, and what emotions come when you finally are, like, you know, you finally get what you want?
Ooh, okay. So when I'm hungry for food and I can't get it right away, I do get upset. Like, I get real angry. Like, hangry is a thing. Like, I do get irritated. Yes. I don't want to talk to nobody, especially if I can't get it. But, baby, when I know that food is coming, I do a whole little dance when I'm at a restaurant. Like, I do the food dance. Like, that's my thing. And I pass that down to my kids because I notice they do it. Like, we just sit there, sit in the booth, and we just all be dancing like, oh, our food here. And I get happy again, like that joy, especially if it looks good. Like, I don't care if the service was horrible. If that food come out and it looked like the picture, baby, I'm happy. You got me sold. I'm okay. I don't care that you were snotty. Cool. You just ain't getting no tip, but I'm happy right now. So that's how it is for me. What about you?
So I'm the same way with when I'm hungry. Like, when Bae is cooking, I get irritated. I get antsy because it's like I'm ready to eat, and it's like he's working at a scratch cook kitchen. He's so big on, like, presentation now, and it's like, okay, I just want to eat. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. But, you know, that's him. So, you know, but I do get, like, real angry, like, oh, my God, I'm just ready to eat. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes I will go for hours and, like, realize, like, oh, my gosh, I haven't ate yet. So by the time I realize it, it's like I'm at the point where, like, I don't have no energy to get up. You know what I'm saying? But when I finally am eating, oh, I'm happy. I'm smiling. I do my little dance and everything like that. So, yeah. Now, I know you kind of answered the second question than the first one, but you could probably go into better details. What thoughts or reactions come to your mind when you see your food coming out at a restaurant? Like, when you see them put that little thing out to place the food.
Girl. First off, if I see them coming out, you want to know what's the most hurtful feeling? When you think the food is yours and they walk past you. Baby, when I tell you, my whole face drop and I'll be about to cry. But what goes through my mind right away when I know that that's mine? Like, okay, just for instance, my birthday. My son's grandma, she took us out to Olive Garden. And when I seen them coming with the tray, the level of excitement, like, I was like a little kid Like, I'm like, yes, oh, I've been waiting all day. Oh, my food look like, I was like, I was all clapping and dancing. Maybe it was the margaritas because I had two of them. But anyway, that's my business. I was clapping. I was happy. I was smiling. Like, it was just like, yes, this is what I've been needing. Like, food is really my comfort. Like, I was just like, yes, I know this is about to be good. This is about to slap. Then when they be like, ma'am, do you want cheese? Yes, I do. Keep going. Thank you. So
right.
It's just happy. Like, my body feels good. Like, I know that probably sounds so fat right now, y'all, but I don't even care.
I don't even care. Right.
That's just what food do to me. Like, I'm happy. Like, they say the way to a man's heart is food. No. You bring a woman a good plate. Watch. Watch.
Yes.
Watch, you got that woman wrapped. I'm sorry. But what about you, babe?
Man, I get excited. Like, that, it is hurtful when, like, you think, you know what I'm saying, that your food about to come out and they walk past.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, sometimes, like, you may see a plate on there that you know somebody at the table orders. You're like, oh, damn, that's not even it. But when they come out and they put that little thing out, I'm like, oh, it's about to go down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just be so happy. I be like, God bless you. You have a good day. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I get real happy when it comes to food. And I know people have always pointed out before, like, you smile and everything because I'm happy. Like, let me be great.
Exactly.
Let me be great. But no, I wanted to kind of tell the listeners a little story about you when at the restaurant.
Go ahead.
Queen K, don't be mad. But when we went to the Chinese buffet back when we was 15, I think, and the lady came – no, we was 16, and the lady had came out with the bill, and we weren't even done eating. Queen K, she does not like being interrupted. When she's eating, dog, she gave her a side-eye for the rest of the night. Like, oh, so we just sat down. Y'all going to give us the bill? Okay. I'm sorry. I just thought about that. That was so funny.
I remember that day. That was
they be ready.
Yeah,
they be
down.
Ready. Like, right, exactly. So it is what it is. She'd be like, my job is done. But okay, you got the next aspect.
All right. My final aspect is food for coping. Do you think that using food as a coping mechanism is a bad trait?
Okay. From a physical standpoint, I don't think so because you're not hurting anyone physically. But it is a bad trait if you, like, really, like, let, like, depression consume you. Because, like, I know for me, when I was depressed, I was eating a lot, you know what I'm saying, trying to fill an empty hole. Like, all I wanted was, like, McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember it was a point where, like, I would just be ready to, like, eat. Like, I remember when I was working at Quicken Loans, I had to be, like, you know what I'm saying, ready to, like, log off at 12 o'clock. Like, you know, when people say they wanted to come to lunch with me, it's like, okay, well, you better be ready to go out the door at 12 because I'm hungry and I don't like to wait and everything like that. But it's like I was real big because it's like I would just overeat. Like, I think I was like 220 pounds, you know what I'm saying? Like just off of like eating and everything like that, trying to just like fill a void. But it's like after that food is gone, it's like, those feelings are still there, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
In my mind, I think, like, it can be a bad trait because, like, you're causing yourself health problems.
Yeah.
What about you?
That is so true. I'm trying to overcome it, but I am an emotional eater. Like, right now I'm trying to overcome it by every time when I feel that I'm going through, a sad state, I pray more. Like, I really pour myself into a Bible. That has been my coping mechanism just
mm-hmm.
recently, you know, for the whole 2020 pretty much, because I wanted to, you know, just throw myself into eating all day, but then I knew I would have been sick. It definitely, to me, it's definitely been a bad trait for me because, like I said,
mm-hmm.
I'm an emotional eater, and I was diagnosed with seasonal depression and then anxiety, and then I also have postpartum as well. But when I feel sad, I just eat, and that is when I get my heaviest. Like, then when I get my heaviest, then it's like, oh my God, I don't like myself because look at how I look, none of my clothes fit. And then when you go to your doctor, oh, your blood pressure is up. Oh, your knees hurt because of this. Oh, your back hurt because of this. Like, my doctor was like, baby, you are too young for me to put you on the blood pressure medication. I need you to lose this weight. Like, I had got so big, I was pushing, like, 250 almost. I mean, no, I'm not now, but I was. And I noticed that I would do that to myself every time I was going through a season of sadness or depression. Every time. Mm-hmm. Like, I would lose the weight, you know, when I was feeling good and I would be okay. But then as soon as I sank back into that bad habit, I would eat because I was sad, because eating was the only thing that comforted me. That was the only thing that sparked a little bit of happiness. Sure, I had good stuff all going around me. You know, my kids were healthy, but I wasn't looking at that, because when you're going through depression, you don't see none of that stuff. The only thing that made me happy or made me smile was food, and that was my downfall. So in my eyes, like you said, it is a bad trait, because you're hurting yourself at the end of the day. You know, that's when we don't realize that we are hurting ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to overcome. You know, that is an addiction right there in itself, because, you know, we use food as our drug. So, yeah, so that's my take on it. My next question is, does the type of food you crave depend on your emotions? Which food goes with which emotions for you? Like, I mean, like, from an aspect of when you're sad, what you want, when we on our cycle, what you want, like, that type of stuff. That's what I mean with this question.
Okay. Because when I first read it, I'm like, I don't even really think about my emotions. I mean, when I'm on my cycle, of course I want greasy food, like fries, hamburgers, steak, chocolate, dairy, something that I'm not supposed to have, but I definitely want that. If I'm sad, it all depends. Sometimes I don't have an appetite, or, you know, other times I'll go to Chipotle, that's my happy place, or I'll go to, like, Tropical Smoothie Cafe and get me a nice smoothie or something like that. Like, you know, when I'm happy, shit, I mean, honestly, most of the time when I'm eating, I'm high. You know what I'm saying? And, like, food just tastes so wonderful then. So, like, you know, but, I mean, I know for, like, when I'm sad, you know, it all depends. But, like, for my cycle, it's always the same thing. Yeah. And that's another story. I ain't gonna, I was about to say something, but, yeah, keep going. That's for after
you
the show.
You sure you don't want to? Okay.
No,
okay,
that's for
cool.
after the show.
Okay, perfect. I'll be waiting. But anyway, for me, I noticed that when I am happy or in a good mood, I want fast food for some reason. Like, I think it's because I don't want to be concerned with the worries and the woes of cooking. So I want to do something quick, even though it's about to take a, you know, it's about to hurt my pockets a little bit, because I got to realize there's four of us eating. It's not just me, but I get fast food. Like, that's my happy stuff. Like, when I'm in a good mood, it's like, all right, kids, we're about to go out to eat. You know, that's when I want to go out to eat. When I'm sad, it is a lot of ice cream. Like, I will sit and eat ice cream all day. I will eat, like, I'm actually, though, I don't know if that's like a learned type of behavior, that you eat ice cream when you're sad, because I don't watch so many shows where they've been sad and they eat ice cream. So I think I just learned that that's what you do, but it helps. Ice cream,
I can't eat a bunch of
junk food. I know, baby. It's so funny, though. But
I'm going to be sad,
like,
even more.
When I'm on my cycle, oh, baby, like, my God, baby actually got me a care package, because she knows what I need. Because I turn into something vicious when I'm on my cycle, first off. But I need, like, my snacks and stuff, because that helps control my anger. You know, the commercial, you're not chewing until you have a Snickers, that's really me in real life, like, real life. So she got me a Mountain Dew. I have to have Mountain Dew. I have to have some type of pop, and I have to have chocolate, and lots of chocolate. Like, that's it. That's the only way I can get through these cramps. That's the only way y'all can get through me being a bitch. That's it. Like, that's bottom line. That's all.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, my last aspect is, that was all the questions, right?
Yep.
Or did you have another one? Okay. My last aspect is food horny. And I'm going to read you guys what the definition is. Food horny is when you're not particularly hungry, but have an extremely strong craving for a certain type of food, which is usually very specific from a specific restaurant and can only be satisfied by eating that specific food, often caused by watching cooking shows. So, my first question under there is, well, I mean, they kind of answered it with the damn fucking definition, but, like, do you think for you, looking at certain foods arouses your taste buds and eyes?
Yes, baby. Okay. just for instance, my god baby got me, I'm sorry, I keep saying her, but she got me a gift card to Chipotle. Now, mind you, she knows I love Chipotle, and it's for Christmas, but it was just because I was a liar, my mouth started watering. Like, I could actually taste it, and I needed it right then and there. Wendy's has this breakfast baconator sandwich, y'all. Their breakfast is so good. But anyway, I saw the flyer, like the billboard driving, and I'm like, damn, that would be really good in the morning. So it's like, yes, I get that feeling. Like, I need it right then and there. And then when I don't get it, I probably get a little attitude, you know. But, hey, but, yes, I do get that feeling. What about you?
I definitely think, like, it's the same for me. Like, just watching, like, different, like, when I used to watch reality shows, like, when I used to watch Basketball Wives, and, you know, they was always meeting up at different restaurants, and the food they would be eating, I'm like, damn, that look good. How are they just sitting there letting their food go to waste? Eat that shit. So it's like, you know, I would want, like, you know, watching certain shows, like, if they got Mexican food in there, damn, now I want some Mexican food, you know, so I definitely think. I know for me, like, watching cooking shows. Now, see, watching cooking shows, I'm not even about to tease myself because I didn't try to, like, I used to like watching, what was her name? The Pioneer Woman on the Food Network.
Yes.
And I have found her, you know, on the Food Network app. You can find, like, different recipes and stuff. Man, it's so many damn ingredients that these chefs use. So I'd be like, you know what? I'm not even going to tease myself. I'm going to go to the restaurant and just hope that I can get damn near close. But, okay. So my last question is, what's one food you can eat over and over to get the same orgasm from your taste buds? You know, I know you probably laughed when you saw this, but what I mean is you've watched those shows or those commercials where, like, the girl eats something and you got to stop and you got to slap your hand down and you got to close your eyes because you can't believe it tastes so good. I feel like that's the orgasm. That's just, hey, I'm just saying. So what's what food?
Ooh, let me see. Girl, ooh. The Chicago deep dish pizza from Pizza Populous. Baby, when I tell you they put all the meat and stuff and then layer, it's like a pie, but it's pizza. Like, oh, y'all don't understand. Like, I could eat that all day, every day, and I promise you, you will get the same reaction out of me. I'm pretty sure it's some other stuff, but right now, off the top of the dome, that's the only thing that's on my mind right now. Like, since this whole episode started, that's the only food I've been craving right now. My brother brought it in one night, and when I tell you I was in heaven, like, the kids didn't understand or appreciate it. Like I said, y'all too young for this. Y'all stick with the hot and ready. Y'all not ready for this stage of excitement right now. No, y'all keep y'all hot and ready. Like, y'all won't appreciate this. But, baby, that pizza right there. Yes, that's my man right there. What about for you?
Oh, I'm about to be fat because I have, like, three places. Andale's, they had these shredded beef tacos, and they put rice in it as a filler. Like, you can get Spanish rice or you can get the white rice with cilantro in it. Every time I eat it, I get the same feeling. The second one, oxtails. Man, it just slaps me in my damn mouth like you disrespectful. And it's this place over in Uptown called Old York Seafood. I got their little seafood broil. Oh my gosh, they butter and all it, man, listen, I'll be over there like, y'all know y'all disrespectful. Y'all know y'all disrespectful. That's all I got to say. Like, I'm telling you, every time, like, I get that type of, like, you ever been so sad when you know your food about to end, so you try to chew slower don't want it? Yeah, that's how it'd be for me if I eat at three of the, at, like, if I eat, like, all that was, like, the shredded beef tacos, the oxtails, and the damn seafood broil, I'd be ready to cry when it's over. Mm.
Baby, I done been so hungry that I will order another one. Like, when I'm about to end one thing, I will order another one, especially if I got the funds. Oh, baby, don't let me have the funds, because it's over after that. I will order another one. Like, yes, I need one to go. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Well, that was a good segment. Well, you got the As a Woman question this week. Lynn Kay, what is it?
All right, yeah. So, my As a Woman question is inspired by Transformation Church, Pastor Mike Todd. You didn't have to come into my house like this, but girl, because I'm on part four, and when I tell you, but anyway, let me wrap that up. My As a Woman question for this week, Complex, is, as a woman, are we aware that the same walls we put up to protect us will eventually start to hurt us?
Girl, this one slapped me in the face, because if I could just be very open and honest on this platform. Yeah, I don't think we're aware of our toxic ways, and I don't think we're aware of how guarded we can be after we've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, you know, I have mentioned on my other podcast, you know what I'm saying, that me and my boyfriend had took a break, and you know, we had talked about fears that we had, you know, from, like, you know, just being in a relationship, like, you know, fear of commitment, fear of being hurt again, all of that. And a lot of those truths that we, like, a lot of those truths that we talked about, it was not comfortable to hear. And, you know, like, on his end, he felt like I could be suffocating at times. I'm a Leo. I'm an attention whore. And we joke about that, but we don't realize how much we think the world revolves around us. Okay. And, you know, when he was basically, like, you know, telling me that, you know, he felt like he was being smothered and everything like that, I took it as a personal attack, you know, because I've been critiqued so much in the past, and, you know, people have always said things that offended me. So, you know, you automatically get defensive when a person is just telling you that they're not used to something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, because he said it in a very respectful way. But when you are so guarded and you have this wall up, you only hear the words that you think is an attack. And then you be ready to just go back, and you don't listen. And it's like, okay, calm down. You ready to bring your you know, your claws out, and I'm just trying to talk. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, it didn't go like that. I didn't bring my paws out, but it's like a part of me was hurt. So I went to God, and, like, I just, like, you know, talked to him about it and just asked questions. Like, you know, why do I have attachment issues? Why am I so guarded? Like, just really asking, like, why do I have trust issues? Why do I have controlling ways? And it's like, you know, after just praying and everything, and because I watched the second, I'm on the third part of Pastor Mike Todd. But watching that second video, I'm like, damn, he just really dragged me, especially on the part where he said, where he was holding his loved ones through the gate and was like, I want you to still love me, even though I'm so guarded. And, you know, I went back, and, you know, me and Bae talked, and I was like, you know, looking back at that breakup, you know what I'm saying? First, I was traumatized, and, you know what I'm saying? But now I see the lesson behind it, because it's like, I was so guarded with you that I played damage control, and I'm basically making you pay for mistakes that other people had did. And you don't see it like that. You think it's just a protective instinct, but it's like, you know, you're like, you're overwhelming this person, because it's like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I'm not the one that hurt you, so why do you think the worst of me? You get what I'm saying? So, yes, it can hurt us because you can end up pushing someone who is genuinely there for you away, because when you've been hurt, you can honestly mistake every person. All niggas is like this. You get what I'm saying? And every guy is not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you said. You was dating, you know, and I don't even like to say the word nigga, but, like, you know, I look at it like someone who's ignorant, even though it's so much pain behind that. But you were basically dating a fuckboy.
Yeah.
You were dating someone, you know what I'm saying, who was not ready to grow up yet. And then now you have a man in front of you and everything like that. And it's like the thing about us as women, I feel like we are so scared to date a good man, because that's when we have to realize that we have some toxic ways that we have to work on. But it's like,
you got it.
No, I'm telling you, because how do you think I feel? I've told you I've been going to the prayer journal. The Lord has been slapping me with these truths, because I almost lost somebody who is genuinely there for me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, was there for me when we was just friends and I was at my low point. So it's like, I have to wake up, and I have to let go and let God and realize that my past was not to make me, you know what I'm saying, crumble. It was to help shape me into a better person. I'm not going to let my past keep controlling my future, because I'm going to end up messing up, and I'm going to lose, like, you know what I'm saying, somebody who's really good, you know? So it's like, you have to take the blinders off so that you can be able to hear what a person is saying and stop looking for just the attack words so you can be ready to fight back. It's not there. I'm sorry I was long-winded with that, but yeah.
Girl, no, you just got me together when you said that. Queen K is not ready for a relationship. I ain't ready.
So God got me together,
Queen
I'm
K
telling
is
you,
not
man.
Ready, everybody, okay? I'm sorry. She is back off the market.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm
smooth, okay? Nope. I ain't ready. Because I know that for me, like, the wall that I build up, I protect myself. Like, I make sure that wall stay up by always accepting always speaking out the worst that could happen. I always do that. And you always get on me about that. Like, okay, you keep speaking negative in your life, but that's my coping, you know, that's my defense mechanism against hurt. I will speak the negative just because I don't want to feel the hurt in case it's actually true. And I've noticed that that hurts me in the long run, because I'm speaking all this negativity into my life. I don't have no room for the positive stuff. I don't have no room for God to open up and pour out the blessings to me because I always expect the worst. So that series really helped me to figure out, like, damn, you stopping your own life. It's so crazy. That wall that I built up to protect myself and to protect my heart and to protect my feelings is the same wall that's stopping me from greatness. I speak negativity and death into my own life because I'm always crashing, you know, everything, because I don't want to feel hurt. So I had to learn, like, through that series, when I tell you I'm like the little kid dragging on the back of the Walmart buggy, that's me. That is me. He done took me down all the aisles, okay? Like, and this is only the fourth one. Like, I can't do it. He is really getting
Pastor
me together. But thank you so much, Complex. Because you really,
he's gifted.
You answered the hell out of that question, girl.
No, I'm just saying, no, because it's like when Pastor Mike Todd and, like, all the other podcasts that I listen to is really what helps me in talking to God. Like, talking to God and then listening to the podcast is when I get the answers. But Pastor Mike Todd is very gifted in how he can really reach a person. And it's like, you know, when he said, you're so guarded to the point where you be asking God to use you. How can I use you when you have no space? And it's like, you know, I said on the other podcast, I was so scared to talk about the breakup. Like, it was like, you know, it was real short, but I was so scared to talk about it. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to let them know what's going on. And he was like, I can't even use you to speak your truth because you always letting your pride get in the way. You know what I'm saying? So, trust me.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay, with that being said, thank you, Complex. Do you have any glowing businesses of the week?
Yes, I want to shout out Amy's Hair Creations. I went to go get my hair done this weekend. Man, like, I'm so proud of her. You know what I'm saying? She's had her own shop for 3 years now, but it's still going strong. You know, she said she had to shut down during the quarantine, you know, like everybody else did. But to just be back on top is just such a beautiful thing. They give out wine. They give out drinks. Like, she has her own hair product. She has shampoo. She has a conditioner. She has I think like a treatment oil and a healing oil to make your hair grow. She has growing hands. Please go check her out. She is in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. You know, it's like right outside of West Philly, like 11 minutes outside of it. But go to Amy's Hair Creations if you want to get laid. Not laid, but if you want to get your hair laid. Slayed. So, yes. I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a long day. But, yeah, like, if you want to get slayed, like, she, like, tell me, she has gifted hands. I love my haircut. You know what I'm saying? It's so bouncy. I kind of sweated it out last night, so I need to go kind of retouch it up. But, hey, I'm coming back. Can't wait. And that's my glowing business. What about you?
Me, I don't have one right now, but I will have one next week.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, y'all just stay posted for that.
You got anything you want to say?
So today, like, big blessing poured out, and I feel like it's a big blessing because it just confirmed some stuff to me. I actually wanted to stop doing hair again, and I have been praying and fasting for God to show me the direction in which He wants my life to go in. What do He want me to do? Because at the end of the day, I'm your vessel, Lord. Use me. Tell me what you want me to do. So today, it pretty much confirms the stuff to me. So I got a text message like early in this morning from one of my parents. Well, it's a couple. They're a couple. And the fiance, he texted me first, and he was like, I just want to say good morning, and I see greatness in you. And then he sent me a picture of a salon chair that he just purchased for me, and he was like, Merry Christmas. Mm. And then they came up to the job, and they was just like, you know, here, this is for Miss Angie. Can you open it? And when I opened it, it was like a smock, and it has my logo on it for my salon, and it has Queen K on it. Like, I'm going to send you a picture complex. Mm. But it is really dope. So thank y'all. So, like, he said that, well, they both said that they, you know, they see that this is what I need to do. Like, hair is what I need to do. They said they see my work. I just recently did his daughter's hair, and he saw my little setup. You know, I'm a kitchen stylist, so, you know, I had the crate with the pillow, and I had her sit out. You know, so, hey, her hair came out good. Shoot. But, you know, she was short, so, hey, I had to make do. But anyway, you know, just that blessing, it was unexpected, and it was just like, wow, Nat, okay, God will send people to you. He will use other people to bless you. So, and you know, He will use other people to show you your purpose. Like, it was just amazing that they thought that much of me to, you know, because they got a house full of kids. They working, you know, they got their own set of bills. They didn't have to do the stuff that they did, but it was just the thought that they did it, and it touched me so much. Like, y'all, I try not to cry, but they brought me to tears. Mm-hmm. So shout out to my baby, Amber. Shout out to John. I love y'all so much. I don't know if you're listening right now, Amber, but thank y'all. Y'all don't know that y'all really just made my whole day. So thank y'all.
That's all I got to say.
What about you?
I don't really have too much to say, but speaking of hair salons, you know, you said the little crate and stuff. You know, I'm 30 years old, and I still have to use a booster seat to get my hair washed at the hair salon.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. And I even got to fold my leg. I got to fold my leg up under me just to make sure. Yeah. I don't know. I don't. It's just crazy because I've been doing that since I was a little kid, and I still have to do that. Like, yep, ain't grown at all. Yep, it's cool. That's all I got to say. what is the AO Queens and Kings Listen Up quote this week?
Okay, y'all, these quotes are actually sponsored by my auntie again. Y'all, like I've told y'all before, she sends me little messages every morning to get my morning started. So this one, a little lengthy, but it did the trick for me. So it says, Don't feel bad if people remember you only when they need you. Feel privileged that you are like a candle that comes to their mind when they are in darkness. So that one for me, it helped me to understand, like, because I have this really big thing, like, I don't like to be used by people. That's the only thing. I don't want to feel misused, I should say. And, you know, certain people will only come to you when they're down and out. But then I had to think about it. You know, you have to give. In this life, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to give and love. You know, give unconditionally so blessings can, you know, they're supposed to pour to you and then through you at the same time. You know, you're supposed to give just as much as you get. So with that being said, y'all, if somebody keep coming to you in their downtime, you know, and you like, oh, I see this pattern, you only want to talk, it's okay to give. Give and then pray over it. If you don't have it, pray a little harder, you know, so that God can bless you so you can bless them. You know, it's okay when people come to you, because sometimes people will come to you because they know that you got them. They know that at the end of the day, when all else fails and they've tried everything, I do have at least one person on this planet that I could depend on. I had to see it in a different light, so that way I won't stop my own blessings, you know, because I'm like, nope, if they could do it for themselves, they'll never call me. Nope, it's okay. It's okay. Even if it's advice, even if they just call you because they want to vent and they know you don't, listen to them. If you are clear and free, just do it. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. So that's one. Let me find my other one, y'all. I'm sorry. My phone had blanked off. I think that was it. That was it, because I said that one was long. So that's all. That is my Ayo King and Queen quote for the week. Complex with that no apology thought.
Okay, so my no apology thought is, we say no one is in control of us but God and ourselves. So what does it say when we are still upset from our past and still timid from past words we heard others say? And this thought came to mind when watching the Offense Under Construction video that Pastor Mike Todd did, and he had said in there, offense builds the prison of unforgiveness. And I reflected on all the times where, like, people said hurtful things to me, but I bit my tongue, and it's like I will always overthink, like, I should have said this and I should have said that, not realizing that it happened the way that it should, because that's how you were feeling at the time. There's no do-overs. You get what I'm saying? And just really learning to just not be offended. Let it go. You get what I'm saying? Like, don't worry about something hurtful that someone said, because you're still basically letting them control how you move today. Like, I'm a person who is very subconscious about my weight. So sometimes I don't take full body pics. Sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. And it's like, it's because I got critiqued about it a lot growing up. So it's like, okay, are you going to still let those people who critiqued you in the past control now? You know what I'm saying? You're 30 years old and everything. Like, it's time to kill the little child inside of me. Like, not, and I know that sounds so wrong to say, but it's like, it's really time to, like, grow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't let you run my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm at an age where I know better, so I have to do better. I can't keep letting things that people said to me be a crutch to why I'm so scared, you know what I'm saying, to live my life. You know what I'm saying? It happened. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Move forward. So that is my no apology thought, and I love you guys.
Aww. So we love you too, Complex.
All right. Well, with that being said, I'm Complex Angel. I'm the Vibe.
And I'm Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And peace and love. We are out.
Peace and love.